Blog Talk Radio.
Fight it off, you have to kind of
beat it off or pluck it off your shoulders every now and then, and let the Lord know that you trust in him for all things and you doubt him for nothing. It's a subject that really gets us on an edge where we don't know if we're trusting God or not. And I believe tonight's lesson is going to help you tremendously in the name of Jesus. We will be joined tonight later on.
I'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We're beginning the ministry. We're here every Tuesday, every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. This evening we're doing a little something different, and we are in Waldorf, Maryland, with Bishop Larry D. Palm, a man from Waldorf, Maryland. And we're going to move on over, and we're going to turn the mic over to him. For those of you who have called, or like to call in and participate on the line, the call the number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054, and you can call in and participate on the last few minutes of the time if you have a question or a comment. Amen. Again, we're going to move on out of the way, and we're going to next what you hear will be Bishop Larry D. Palmer from this church, as well as with Blog Talk Radio. Amen.
Be praised. Amen. So let us turn to Matthew 6 and 25. Amen. Matthew 6 and 25, and going through verse 34, we will learn a lot about ourselves on tonight. I just believe that God is going to do a great thing through us. Amen. Are we on the blog radio yet with our other guests? Amen. Dr.
Yes,
Clay,
we
are we on?
Yes,
amen. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, we can hear you clearly.
Amen. Thank you so very much. And our guests are with us, our wonderful guests, Dr. Clay, Dr. John, and Dr. Suzanne Clay are with us tonight. We're just going to have a wonderful time in the Lord. You haven't missed anything. We're getting ready to go into the scripture as we speak. Matthew 6 and 25. Amen. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into, shall he not more clothe you, O ye of little faith? My God. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all things. But seek ye first. Let me say that clearly. But seek ye first the kingdom of righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Let me read it again. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. This thing we are talking about tonight is simply that of worry. Oh, my God. How many of you out there have the issue of worry? Come on. Show me some love. Go ahead and put it there. Let me know that you feel me. You can understand what I'm saying. Because oftentimes we worry about things that we just should not. When we know that your heavenly Father knoweth and have that you have need of all things, then why do we worry about the things of the world? It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And not only that, his righteousness. In other words, straighten up your act a little bit. And all these things, everything that you worry about, shall be added unto you. Have you ever tried the Lord as his word? Really? Have you really ever tried the Lord at his word? I got to the point where you said, I'm all in. I'm just all in. I'm not going to worry anymore. I'm just going to hand it over to the Lord. You have to get to that point where you understand that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knows what you need. Amen. I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to hand it all over, and I'm just going to see what happens. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection, and I want to know him for myself. When we get to that point, we know that we can throw our hands up and say, hey, I'm giving it all to the Lord, amen, because he's able to do it exceedingly abundantly, more than I can ask or think or even imagine. That's when we are locked in to the Spirit of the Almighty God. Hello, somebody. We are locked in then. So we have to push everything in and say, God, you got it. I mean, I tried it, and I couldn't fix it. I went to others, and they couldn't help me. I went to psychologists. I went to physicians. They couldn't do it. I'm turning it all over to you. It's almost a shame and almost an embarrassment that we have to go that far to be able to trust in the Lord. Amen. I want to learn. This is what you put in your spirit. I want to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. It's a learned habit. I need to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. I want to be able, you know, that's 2 Corinthians 2:7, but I want to be able to trust in him. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, 6, and 7, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In other words, I'm nothing without the Lord. And he shall, the Bible says, that's a promise. He shall direct thy path. Oh, God, have mercy, Jesus. I want the Lord to direct my path. I want to know him. Listen, I want to know him in the pardon of my sins. Psalms 25:11. I want to know him. I want to be able to let go of the stuff that's really holding me back. We just carry too much stuff sometimes. And when we carry a lot of stuff, it causes us to worry if we can really handle the bag that we have over our shoulder. The Lord wants you to let that thing go. We already got a cross to bear. You don't need other baggage trying to carry both things. Just let the Lord have it. Our text today, it really finds us in the middle of Jesus' sermon on the mount. What life is like under God's rule. Let me say it again. We're finding out what life is like under God's rule. Now, let me pause right there, because many of us just don't like rules. Hello, somebody. Rules kind of mess us up. Rules kind of get us to the point where we think somebody is over us, and somebody is bossing us, and somebody is telling us what to do. Well, I got news for you. For the rest of your life, if you live to be 100, there's always going to be somebody that's going to tell you what to do. Amen. So you might as well be accustomed to it. There's always somebody that's going to help you along the way. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad to have people, amen, to come and to help me along the way in the name of Jesus. Our text is there. We're right in the middle of Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And through this sermon, we are touched in most of our sensitive areas. Amen. This word will expose us to godliness on the inside as well as on the outside. Let me say it again. This word that we're receiving will expose us not only on the inside, but on the outside. You ever known people that say that they love the Lord, but on the outside, it doesn't seem like it. It doesn't show it. They have so many gestures that seem to be contrary to the thing that they say in their heart. So we want to let you know that Jesus is preaching a Sermon on the Mount. He says, man, I want to get on the inside, Amen. So you can show up, and I can show up in you on the outside. You will find it as we unpack this sermon that Jesus will repeatedly address the problem of worry. Amen. Go through it for yourself. Read it in its entirety. Jesus will repeatedly, in Matthew 6, he will repeatedly address the problem of worry. Imagine that, especially now. We are worried about so much stuff. We are really in a place of unrest. We are worried about racism. We are worried about our government. We are worried about the movement. We are worried about our household. We are worried about our refinance. We are worried about whether to get rid of my gas car and get an electric car. We are worried about all the things of the world. And God's rule is saying that you have to pray that his will certainly will be done on earth. You don't have to worry about those things. That's what was happening. In the day, he was telling the people, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory. And then he asked, so why do you worry? Why are you going through so much pain and agony over something that I already got control of? Amen. He has the resources. Jesus has the grace and mercy. He has the strength. He has everything you need to handle your circumstances, and yet we worry. When we are mature enough to put our confidence and trust in God, guess what? Doors open. Doors open. Amen. And our faith begins to explode. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. Doors open for us, and our faith begins to explode because we're putting our faith and trust in God. And when we do, we are not holding the door shut because we know that we're not the ones that's actually opened the door for us to step through. It's the presence and the almighty power of God that does it. Amen. Let's put this together and do a little bit of expository work in the scripture as we read to you for your hearing. In verse 25, he's talking to us about being more than birds. Our main focus is on survival. We place so much on the needs at the top of the list of our survival. We place eating, we place drinking, and we place clothing on the top. That's the protection of our survival list. In the days of old, and still in some of these days, the substances were hard to come by, and they required an enormous amount of time to produce. Let me tell you why, or to acquire. Food was grown. It was planted. It was farmed. You couldn't go to the local grocery store and just pick up food. It was something that the farmers done. You had bartering. Somebody had a lamb. Somebody had greens. Somebody had kale. Somebody had this. Somebody had that. And you moved around to make sure you could get the food necessary for your survival. Amen. It wasn't at your disposal. And they couldn't just do like we do now, store it in a refrigerator. Amen. And let it set for a couple of days later. It was day-to-day work. Amen. So they did worry about what they ate. Amen. They was worried about how they were going to eat because it was a lot of time put into just the normal things that we take for granted, just eating. If I'm not fixing food at home and I got food in the refrigerator and I just don't want to do it, I don't want to pop it in the microwave, I run up to the national or the local fast food restaurant, get me something, come back, choke it down, and I'm done for the day. It wasn't like that. Amen. And in one day in your life, it may not be like that for you, that you can just step out and do anything that you want to, any time that you want to. So we have to learn to put our trust in God. God did it. Amen. Whatever you have, and if you have everything that you think you need and more, it's because God did it. Amen. So the food and then the drink. You see, they had to go to the well. Oh, Lord, I'm going to say. They had to go to the well. It wasn't just a soda in the refrigerator, or you just got your iced tea, or you just doing all, I'm just sitting back chilling, man, and all of that. You know, in times, you know in the well, the water was cool, but by the time they took it back to the camp, it was probably warm. Amen. Not probably. I knew it was probably warm. Amen. So, you know, they're drinking not in the comfort that we drink. We are blessed. I'm telling you right now, we are blessed. We are blessed beyond measure, and we're taking it for granted. I believe that God wants us to understand that he is yet in control of all things, and he's supplying your every need according to his riches in glory. Amen. So we're eating. We have to go get it and make sure that we can have it. It takes time to grow it. We're drinking. We have to go work and get it from the well. And the clothes did not come from your local Walmart or Target or K&G. They were woven by hand. And so the clothes that they had, not that they had reason to worry, but they had a hard time coming by all of these resources. And that we don't appreciate. These things that we carry and wear to protect us, we just don't appreciate. We just got too many of them. You know, I believe that I'm guilty of the same thing. I look in the closet, what am I going to wear today? Let me pick over here. No, don't want that. No, don't want that. It's just so many things. It wasn't that way. Amen. It wasn't that way. They had to trust in God and believe in God for everything. You know, I trust in God now and believe in God for everything. I don't take everything that God has done for me for granted in the name of Jesus. For that alone, I say thank you, that I can get up and just choose something to wear. God is great and greatly to be praised. I'm telling you, our basic needs are golden. Our basic needs are golden. They Amen. Are met Amen. By God. Amen. They are met by God. The things that you have every single day, you have a right to praise him. Every single day of your life that you rise up and you have the breath to breathe, the Bible tells us it's through him that we live and move and have our very being. Amen. So we're talking about the birds of the air. Amen. And the fowl of the air. You know, they don't plant food. Birds don't plant food. Amen. Neither do they harvest it and store it in barns like we do. But they eat, and they eat well. So if God provided for them, he's saying, how much more will I provide for you? Because you were created in my image. It's a wonderful thing to praise God and know why you're praising God in the name of Jesus. I can praise him because I think of small things that he does, things that I have forgotten about long ago. I prayed for him a long time ago, and he blessed me with them, and I had the audacity. I'm not talking about you on the air. I'm talking about me. I have the audacity in my spirit not to say thank you. Amen. But God, forgive me. God, forgive me for not letting you know that I appreciate all the small things that you did for me. Amen. You worked it out. And I forgot all about it, but you worked it out nevertheless. You know, the birds, let me stay with that just one minute. It's majestic how God has created the birds. They know how to make the nest, and it's unbelievably made. I don't know if you've noticed. I don't know if you've just taken time to look at the things that God has created. Precision is at its best by just looking at a bird's nest. Amen. They know how to protect it from the weather. It is strategically positioned. Amen. And it is fashioned in a way that it will protect the small birds that they produce. Good God Almighty. I mean, look, that's just a bird. Just a simple sparrow that you see flying around that you don't pay any attention. Too. That's just a bird. But let's look at the hummingbird. That's an interesting bird. It can hover. It can just hover. You know, in aeronautics, we're trying to figure out how does that bird do what it do. And we try to create airplanes that can do the same thing as a hummingbird, especially in the fighter world. You try to find out how it's able to move its tail and how it's able to move its body. See, the hummingbird can fly forward. The hummingbird can fly backwards. The hummingbird can fly upwards, and the hummingbird can fly sideways, and the hummingbird can even fly upside down. My God. And look, the wings flap on a hummingbird, it has been recorded 53 times per second they flap. That is amazing. I don't know if you're thinking about the majesty of God, but God in his creation is all of that and some. And what he's saying is that you're worrying, I created you in my image. You're much more advanced than the hummingbird. That's incredible. And God provides for them daily, every single day. Amen.
Yes.
Listen, it's futile. It's futile. Verse 27 talks about it is futile to worry. Know why? Because nothing changes. Hello, somebody. Show me
the word. Amen.
Nothing changes. You don't fix anything when you worry. Hello, somebody. Amen. I remember in times past, I'm just talking about me. I love talking about me because you can't get mad at me. You can if you want to, but, you know, I don't get mad at me. Amen. So, but I used to worry. How was I going to feed my little new family? I just got married. You know, we had a little son, and we wasn't making much money. You know, getting $188 a month. My wife was getting $105 a month, which paid the rent. You know, the money didn't go so far. We would go to the commissary. We'd always take a new thing that was out, not like it is now. It was called the Texas Instrument. And we would add up the groceries, and sometimes we'd have too much. We'd have to put some things back, things that we really wanted but we really didn't need. We were fine. We understood how to buy within our means. Amen. The credit cards, the plastic stuff was not there. Hello, somebody. Amen. You had to spend and manage what you had. And there was no room, really, for worry.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Because it wouldn't change anything. I mean, you get to the place where you didn't have enough money. You get $27 worth of groceries and you didn't have any more money. No need to worry because it's not going to produce anything. Hello, somebody. Amen. So it was fruitful to really worry. Worry adds nothing to life but stress. Let me say it again. Worry.
Yes. Amen.
Nothing to life but stress. And we know what stress does. Stress just puts us in a place where we worry even the more. Amen. Because we're not doing what? Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and trusting in the Lord with all our heart and not leaning to our own understanding. I really come to know what that scripture meant when I had a personal experience with the word that I could trust in the Lord with all my heart. Amen. And all my soul and all my mind and lean not to my own understanding and all our ways, I learned to acknowledge him. And guess what? He did, in fact, direct my path. There are times I could not figure. This is why I know and I preach it all the time that God deals in the ridiculous. There was times when we just didn't have the means. Amen. We just didn't have the money. Amen. We were poor. And really didn't know it. I know I didn't have money, but I didn't understand just being poor. I had a job. I was in the military. I went to work every day. I mean, but I just didn't have enough to cover everything that we need. Now, you know what that means? You know what that means? I'm trying to trust in the Lord. Amen. But I wasn't trusting in the Lord. Hello, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I could tithe. You know, I would give very little when it came to offering. And then it's just an angelic host visit me personally. I don't know if you've had one to visit you personally, but the angelic host said, try me. Just try me. Amen.
Yes, sir.
You see what in Malachi it says, man, try me and test me in this and see when I open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'll hardly have room to receive. Amen. Now, we just didn't have enough. But I decided, man, what do I have to lose? At this point, really, what do I have to lose? I sowed a seed when I really couldn't afford to into the Lord. Oh, my God, have mercy, Jesus. And you're talking about a life-changing experience. It didn't happen right away, but I sowed that seed, and it had to cultivate and turn into a harvest. Do y'all understand what I'm saying on the air and on the blog? God works in mysterious ways. What we have to do is learn how to wait on him. Amen. And so I sowed into the ministry, and I waited, and I waited, and I forgot about waiting. You know why? Because my trust factor had run out, but my faith started to grow. I didn't even know my faith was growing. Amen. But I planted that seed, and here it comes. God opened a window. God opened a window. You know how he opened that window? I'm sitting there not even thinking, and there comes promotion. Boom! Amen. Promotion comes out of nowhere. And I remember when I was a youngster, I used to carry the scripture in my pocket. You can test it and see in Psalms 75 and 6, it says promotion doesn't come from the east nor the west nor from the south. Promotion comes from above. I cut it out. I put it in my wallet. I had it in my wallet for years in the name of Jesus until I reached the top of the rank and there was nowhere else to go. Amen. And I don't even remember. I don't think I ever threw it away. It may be still somewhere tucked in my wallet on a thin piece of paper because God does some ridiculous things. You wait until you get into a situation. I hope that you don't have to, but you wait till you get into a situation where God has to come in and do things ridiculous because there's no other thing that can be done. Amen. You're at the top of the bottom, and you can't get up. And God comes in and wipes all the pain away. He wipes all the stuff away. In Psalms 107, it talks about the Israelites, how they would ask God, they would cry out to God for help, and God would come in and help them out of their distress. And they would turn right around. You can read it for yourself. They would turn right around and put themselves right back in a position that God delivered them from. Have you ever known, have you seen, or are you that person that seems to go right back and keep putting yourself right back in a position that God has delivered you from? God bless you, Brother Mark Geller. Haven't seen you in a long time. It's good to see you on the line. God is a great Savior to us, and we just don't know it. And the Bible records, it's only a few verses down, that they went back and got into trouble in Psalms 107 again, and God delivered them out of their distress again. Isn't that like God?
Yes.
God is God. God doesn't hold things against us. He wants us to be strengthened. He wants us to be built up. God wants us to be able to handle things around us and in the society and still represent him. I said it right, not represent, represent him. And that's what we do when we represent. We represent who God is. And so when God does it well. And guess what? They start doing well. And when they start doing well, they fell off the wagon again. And guess what God did? Guess what God did? He beat them up. He delivered them when they cried out. He delivered them out of their distress again. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. See, that's why we can't be God. Because we, after the first time, I'm through with that. I'm done with that. I done did it for you before. You done went and got yourself back in again. See, we start going through our own processes about what we should and what we should not do for people, but that's not who God is. God continues, just like you. Amen. God, you know you shouldn't be blessed. Amen. You know that God shouldn't have gave you that home. You know that God shouldn't have gave you that car, that house, that wife, that husband, even that child, whatever it is, but by the grace of God, he did it.
Yes.
And then we
have
the audacity not to say thank you. Oh, my God, how much of Jesus. Whew. Boy, we need deliverance in a special way to be able to tell God thank you for the great things that he has done. Amen. Because he is God. And I love it when the scripture says God inhabits the praise. You ever been in a position where you can just make God happy? Just make God happy. You just praise the Lord for the great things that he has done for you. Don't worry about the person next door to you or next to your church or a next door neighbor. You just praise God for the great things that he has done for you, and you watch what happens in your household. The whole atmosphere starts to shift. Amen. Because it is in your praise. I know we're talking about worry. I'm going to get right back to it in a minute, but it's in your praise in the name of Jesus. So we have got to grab hold to what God is giving unto us And then we have to loose it out into the atmosphere. That's why people in it can throw up holy hands. Loose it out into the atmosphere and let God know that you appreciate the things that he does for you in the name of Jesus. Verse 28, let me move on. Verse 28 says, it's more than the flowers. It's more than the flowers. See, our raiment that we have, raiment is the clothing that we have, it's more than flowers. It's necessary. Clothes are necessary for humans. Amen. That's because our forefather messed up in the garden. Adam. It wasn't that way. We were just like the birds of the air and the animals and everything else. We would be able to withstand anything because we were colored. But clothes, these things that we wear now, is because of what we did in disobedience in the garden of the Lord. Amen. And so we were stuck with these things to protect us now because of what we did in the garden. Oh, my. Help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I thank God for what he does. But look, let me talk about this flower. This flower says, I'm out in the wintertime. Think about it. Think about God. Now, he just told you about the bird. Now he goes to the flower. The flower is out in the wintertime and is able to get through the winter, the harshness of the winter. In the spring, it comes back again as pretty as it can be without your help. Hello, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't spin, it doesn't turn, it doesn't break off. And even if it does, it regenerates it. It comes back. You know, from our troubles and all the things that we go through, worry shouldn't be at the top of our list. We have to learn how to bounce back from the things that the world deals to us. Yes, you got dealt a bad hand. That's all right. Bounce back. Amen. Don't blame. Don't go around sad and worrying all the whole thing. That's not going to help you. That's not going to move you up the scale. It's not going to make you any better. It's not going to make you feel better. As a matter of fact, worry puts us in a really dark place. Sometimes worry puts us in a depressive state where we cannot even get up, amen, because we are worried. You don't need pills for it. Nothing's going to change. You know, everything is a pill, these things. Every day is a set. I need a pill to go to bed. I need melatonin to go to sleep, or I need coffee to wake me up. I need something else to settle me during the ease of the day. I need a CBD or like that, put it on my head. It makes me calm. It makes me this. It makes me that. You know what that is? That's a form of worry. That's a form of worry. And we have got to put our faith and trust in the Lord. Amen. Show me some love. Let me move on. The flower can come back. The flower can make it through hard times. Amen. Whew. If the flower can make it through hard times, you ought to say, oh, I know God. You created me. Amen. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You tell me so in the Psalms. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I can take some stuff. I can take some stuff. I can take some stuff. And I can recover. I can bounce back. Only thing I have to do is not worry about the condition and the position that I find myself in. Let me give you another example before I move on to verse 31. If we consider Joseph, Joseph didn't worry about things. It's evident because they would have put it in the book. I mean, his family, his family turned on him. Brothers turned on him. And his father questioned him. What's wrong with you, Joseph? Amen. But, you know, I know what my Redeemer said. He told me everything was going to be all right. Amen. And you got to get to the point where when even family tells you, oh, but if you trust in God, guess what? God is going to deliver you from it all. We got to be able to trust in him. We got to be able to let it go and let God have it. We got to be able to move worry out of the way, and worry is not taking you anywhere but to a stressful place where it's going to put you down, it's going to cover you up, and bury you. Amen. So let it go and let God. The Bible says in 31, God bless you. I see my niece on the Monica. God bless you. At verse 31, it says, take no thought that God promised you, because he's going to supply it. In other words, take no thought for tomorrow and even what it's going to bring. You know why? Because God's got it. Whew. I mean, in the middle of where we are right now, we got so, in the last 18 months, I just think, you know, I just have to believe it's been a test of our faith in God. In every turn, it's been a test of our faith. And we have got to recognize and have to realize that if you own this line tonight, you're not one of the 570,000 that are dead. It's by the grace of God that I live and move and have my being. God has protected me, and God has preserved me. God has put his angelic host around me. And I can't take that for granted. I got to believe that God singled me out for such a time as this. There must be something on your plate that God wants you to do. And guess what? It's not worry. When God sent his son Jesus, and he's preaching now on the Sermon of the Mount, he's telling the people, whatever you do, understand who I am. I am he that can keep you. I am he that can heal you. I am he that can deliver you. So don't worry about a thing in the name of Jesus. Whew. Look, so look, we have to gather these things up with common sense now. I mean, you know, some of us are lacking some of that, but common sense tells you that, look, if you didn't do it, you didn't do it, and you didn't, man, it's got to be God. Amen. Every one of us needs a but God testimony in our life. But by the grace of God. I mean, we have come close. But by the grace of God, I was able to overcome. And it was nobody but the hand of God. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Make me feel something in my shoulders. I know that God delivered me from it. Amen. I know that God snatched alcohol out of my mouth. I know that God snatched reefer from my hand. I know that God kept me from getting pregnant. I know that God delivered me from it all. I know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I could even ask or think or imagine. You have to have that but God moment for yourself. Amen. Amen. Look, if Paul and Silas in prison were sitting there and they just had to worry, it's all that, well, I'm worried. They didn't do that. They put on their clothes. They put on their garments. Amen. They put on the garments, and the Bible records that one starts singing and the other one starts praying, and they know that God inhabits the praises of his people in the name of Jesus. He gives us a signal when things are bad and the chips are down on us. Don't worry about the stuff. Start singing and praising unto God. I got to wake my God up. We know that he's not a God that sleeps or slumbers, but I got to really move God in the name of Jesus and let him know that I need him more than ever before. So I'm going to praise him in the noonday. I'm going to praise him in the morning. I'm going to praise him when the sun goes down. Why?
Yes.
Because I know that he's going to answer my prayer. All you have to do, really, all you have to do is lift up your hand toward God. Amen. Say, God, I need you now, and I need you in the worst way. Guess what? He's going to come, and he's going to come right on time. He's never late. He's always right there when you need him. I know you say, no, come when I want you, but we don't control God, because God knows what you need and exactly when you need it. Amen. So that reflects to our next moment, which is verse 32, this comparing worry and ignorance. Our God is not ignorant, because the Lord knows what you need. Let me say it again. Our God is not ignorant. He knows what you need. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. God knows what you need, and he'll supply. He'll supply it towards you. But guess what? There's something that you have to do. Our problem is as it was with the Gentiles. And see, we don't claim it, and we don't want to put ourselves in a place of idolatry, but it's there. when we worry and we put our trust in other things, we put our trust in other things instead of putting our trust in the Lord, that's idolatry to the Lord. Hello, somebody.
Mm.
We can't trust more than we trust God. Amen. I trust the Lord to be able to place someone in my path that can help me along the way. You remember the man that was lowered down into the temple while Jesus was preaching? Oh, yeah, you remember four guys that went up on the roof and lowered him down into the temple. And he said, man, I tried to get him through the door, but the church folks were in the way and wouldn't let me in. So what we did, we strategically climbed up on the roof, moved back the sheaves, and lowered him down in front of Jesus. That's the kind of people I want around me. When I get sick and I'm all messed up, I don't want you to worry. I want you to get me to Jesus. Hello, somebody. I want you to help me to get there. If I can't pray, you pray for me. Amen. If I can't lift up holy hands, grab my hand and lift it up toward God in the name of Jesus, because I just believe that we serve a Savior like that. But what we don't want to do, amen, is lower our standards to the point where we start serving false gods. And sometimes all these pills, all these medicines, and all of the stuff that we enter into our temple is false gods, because God can handle it. He tells us in his word, fret not, God will come through. And I just believe that with all my soul, all my body, all my mind, everything, God is going to. He's done it so many times for me. Boy, make me hold back my emotions now. He's done it so many times for me. I can't help but trust him. Whenever it gets that way, I call on him. I call on him
yes.
At midnight. And in the afternoon, wherever it is, I call on the Lord. Now, let's go to
yes.
the verse. Let's go to our key verse for tonight. Whew. It says, look, seek ye, not last, not second, not third, but seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's order. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's unpack that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I want you to have yourself, get your house in order. Get your house in order where you are able to praise the Lord, where you are able to feed unto the Lord, where you are able to bless the Lord, where you are able to move all of these little broken spirits that you keep bringing into your house. Move all of them things out in the name of Jesus. Know that God is going to work it out. See, we bring in these little demons. We don't think that they're going to grow big, but they got other little demons. And after a while, you know, they got other little demons. And what they do is form a gang. See, gang members are not that bad in and of themselves. Amen. They have to become ganglions before they come bad. So, you know, you bring in the little things. The little things don't seem to mean much until it's got another little thing with it. And then this other little thing comes in, and they start to become a big thing, because all of them together become cumulative power. Hello, somebody. Amen. It's not bad, the little thing that you do, but it's the thing of the little things that you do. So we have to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. That's order. And his righteousness. Watch this. And his righteousness. Know what righteousness is in this case? And his rules. Oh, God. We don't like rules. Oh, help us, Lord. We don't like rules. Hey, keep the door shut at all times. Why? Why? You know, I want to keep the door open because I'm coming in and out of it so many times. I don't feel like keep turning up, but keep the door closed. It's just a rule. Amen. Turn the light off. That's the rule. Be in before 11 o'clock. That's the rule. I mean, you know, all of these things are rules. And we are people that just don't like standard rules. Amen. Because you believe that rules are made to be broken. Amen. But not the rules of God. We have to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And then it says, after you do that, all these things, all of these substantial things that you believe you need shall be added unto you. Listen, there's a formula. There's a formula for prosperity. And here it is. There's a formula for prosperity. And here it is. First, things first. And that is to seek God first. Amen. So many times we put him on the back burner. And we need to seek him first. I can't even imagine where I would be without the Lord. Yes, I can. I can pretty much imagine. I'm going to take that back. I can pretty much imagine where I would be without the Lord. I wouldn't be right here. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be as
prosperous.
I'm not rich, but I'm rich in Christ Jesus. Amen. I wouldn't be as prosperous as I am now because I'd still be going clubbing and bumping and doing all these crazy things that I was doing when I was out in the world. And I couldn't understand it. I really couldn't understand how people had nice homes and nice cars and nice this. You know, us them church folks and blah, 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 blah. Well, the preacher got there because he taken all them things went across my mind before. But now that I know who Christ really is and I know what he does for those who are righteous before him, things have changed. Amen. In the name of Jesus. And now I have unlocked the combination. I have unlocked the combination that the door is open and I can walk in. I have access to my Lord to talk to him about my troubles, talk to him about my fears, and talk to him about my woes and ask him, God, guard me from worry because I know that you are God and you are God alone. And I'm going to walk right there beside you. I want to stay close to you. I want to be pressed up against you. I want to be able to feel your presence in my life. So you seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and then all these other things, oh God, all these other things shall be added unto you. But first thing first. Amen. Let me cut across the field and close with this. Worry does not keep us alive nor well. Let me say it again. Worry does not keep us alive, nor does it keep us well. So why carry? You have to make a thing. Why am I carrying worry when it doesn't keep us alive or well? It does, however, rip the fabric of faith and empties us of our strength. That's what worry does. That's why the evil one wants you to worry, because it's another one of his tactics to keep you and divide you and separate you from the love of God. I'm praying tonight that God spoke to your spirit. I'm praying tonight that you will get to the point where you won't worry about, who said it, Stevie Wonder? I don't worry about it. Don't you worry about a thing. So whatever it is, let it go. Really, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm in the middle of a major project. Ladies and gentlemen, I am in the middle of a major project. And it just, at times, it just doesn't look like it's going to come into fruition. And then, you know, I was on the prayer line the other morning. For those of you who don't know, and you're under the sound of my voice, we pray every morning throughout the week from 6 to 6:30. And on the weekends, we pray from 7 to 7:30. We do that 24/7. We do, 365. We do it every day of the year. Amen. Now, you're telling me that God says we can pray without ceasing. We can do so. But we're really asking God to protect us. And I believe in my soul, man, that God is doing a wonderful thing through our prayers. Amen. We may not see it, we may not know it, we may not understand it, but God, I'm telling you, we don't send a prayer to God. They don't go unto him void. God is listening, God hears, and God is going to do something. People in Israel, when they were slaves unto Pharaoh, they prayed unto the Lord 400 years for God to deliver them out of their trouble. Amen. And God delivered them out of their trouble. Don't you know when they got to the Red Sea? Don't you got... They messed up. Look, Moses, you done brought us out here to die. We had it better in Egypt. Some of us still want to go back to Egypt. Leave Egypt alone. Let it go. We don't want to go back. We want to go forward. So we pray unto God, and we pray that God will release us from that spirit of worry in the name of Jesus. God bless you. I thank you for coming on tonight. I thank you, Blog Radio, for being able to be with us, the ITLM WOW on Wednesday. It has been a marvelous time in the name of Jesus. Read that scripture. Let it get down into your spirit until the time that it becomes part of you, that you know that I'm not worried about anything. Why? Because my God has got it. It may not look so good right now, but God has got it. And when we hold on to that, that faith and hope and know that God's got it and God can do it, you watch what happens. The atmosphere shifts. The atmosphere shifts. The atmosphere shifts. Why does it shift? Because your faith is getting stronger. Amen. God says be encouraged and courageous in the name of Jesus. You know why? Because he knows that you now are mature enough to trust and believe in him. God bless you tonight. God bless you in the morning. Be blessed of the Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Come back again to visit us on any Wednesday. Get on the blog that's part of our ministry, too, with Drs. John Clay and Suzanne Clay. The blog is a wonderful place to be as the word of the Lord is being delivered. I pray that you come on worship on Wednesday. You can sow a seed into the ministry here in ITLM. Oh. It's app, capital letters, ITLM, app, capital letters, ITLM. Or you can go to our website, www.itlm.org, or you can simply mail it in to us at 64 Industrial Park Drive in Waldorf, Maryland, 20602. We would love to receive a seed from you. We are planting it in fertile soil. Let me let you know. We are developing a park right adjacent to our structure.
Bishop, would you share the morning prayer, the phone number for the morning prayer, please, or is that video, Zoom?
I'm sorry?
Would you share the phone number or the Zoom meeting ID for morning prayer?
I would, but I'm on Facebook right now, and I got it on my phone. And so
okay.
I will get it. We will put it out for you to see. But again, it's Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock in the morning to 6:30, and we have prayer warriors on. You can become one of those prayer warriors, or you can simply just tune in to us. But we'll certainly put it out on Facebook so you can see it. I'll have them. Matter of fact, they're working on it right now. It should be coming up for you to see on Facebook. The number, if you're not on Facebook with us, if you're on the blog, is 717-275-8940. 717-275-8940. The code is 351-8840. 351-8840. We will be on in the morning. Amen. And we will look forward to having you there with us. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Suzanne Clay, I appreciate you letting us come on tonight. It's been a marvelous time in the Lord. And all of those followers on Facebook, we love you in Jesus' name. Good night to you. And follow us again and share this message with someone you love. In Jesus' name. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you, Bishop.
God bless you, sir.
For those of you who are tuning, he gave you the number, and the code for that is 351-8840. That's 351-8840 is the code to get in for the morning prayer.
Thank you, Dr. Clay.
Amen. God bless you. We thank everybody for tuning in. Once again, remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Haunted by the questions.
face the dawn.